grave in the angry deep. Get up, Jesus, because the wind. Obey your will. The winds and the waves, bless God, shall obey your will. And all you've got to say, Lord Jesus, peace be still. Bless God. Weather the wrath.
I want to thank each and every one of you for listening to the Gospel Explosion. Coming right up.
When you're lonely,
Hope is Alive.
When you're hungry,
Dr. Michael Andrew Orns.
Yeah, I'm looking for. Oh, yes, I am.
God for another opportunity to come to you from the New Hope Missionary Baptist Church of San Bernardino, California. This is Dr. Michael Andrew Owens, the beloved pastor, and I come to you in humility and in power, knowing that we only have this time because of the grace of God, because of his favor shown to us. We have the joy of another Christmas season, and we are desirous of being a blessing to you through this broadcast, and hopefully you'll be able to follow the lead of the spiritual inspiration you receive from this ministry and come and join us as you have opportunity in person at the New Hope Missionary Baptist Church, 1575 West 17th Street in San Bernardino, California. We'd be so glad to have you. Hopefully you're enjoying a worship experience today on this Lord's Day, another Sunday morning, one more Sunday closer to the time of sharing the celebration of Christmas Day. But we know it's more than a day. We know that it is every day that is a blessing to us because of the gift of Jesus Christ. And so we pray that this will just be a reminder for you to be thankful always and to count your many blessings, knowing that every good gift comes from the Lord himself. And so I pray that you will meditate, you will study, you will pray, you will cast your eyes toward heaven and let the Lord show you the signs of his wonder and the signs of his blessings in your life, and that you will follow the lead of the Spirit to become all God is calling you to be. Let something new be born in you like it was born in Mary, something divine, something that comes from heaven above, something that will make your life brand new and to turn your life around so that you will follow the light that comes from heaven. Follow the lead of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're here to say we love you because you're a child made by God himself, and that makes you part of our family if by faith you receive the Son. And so we are thankful for this broadcast, this time of sharing, this time of worship. And after the next election, be so pleased to bring you a word from the Lord as that word continues to shine brightly in our hearts. Amen and God bless.
In that water, we down in that water? Anybody been to the river? Anybody been baptized? Has your soul been converted? And you feel alright? Said I stepped in the water. Said I stepped in the water. Said I stepped in the water.
To tell you that the spirit of Christmas is a spirit of giving and a spirit of loving. And hopefully during this Christmas time, you are inspired and stirred within to be a blessing to somebody the way Christ has been a blessing to you. I take you this morning, this afternoon, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verses 19 to 23. Where it says, "And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus, saying, Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? When the men had come to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? And that very hour, he cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits. And to many blind he gave sight. Jesus answered and said to them, Go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me." I want to use for a theme, do something good for somebody. This is the message of Jesus. This is the example of Jesus. When you read the gospel accounts concerning the master, you can clearly see that Jesus was on a mission. And we use that phrase in our colloquial language, on a mission, to mean that someone seems to be overtaken by a sense of purpose. We use that phrase to suggest that a person is focused on meeting an established goal or objective. And it should be apparent to all of us that Jesus was intent on doing something good for people who had special needs, for people whose problems and conditions were especially pronounced. The Lord's case for being the true Messiah the evidence he submitted that he is indeed the Christ sent by God was not based only on his message. As much as we love what he had to say, as much as we are inspired by his words, Jesus relied heavily on his service record to leave us a legacy of who he is. Anyone truly discerning, anyone paying close attention to the signs, would have to see what Jesus was all about before confirming in their spirit that the fulfillment of all prophecy had indeed come. Many a pretender had come before Jesus saying they were the one. Many had offered themselves as the leader, the long-awaited king. Follow me, and I'll take you to paradise. So it is no wonder that when Jesus begins his ministry in earnest, having been baptized in the Jordan and tested in the wilderness, Jesus announces in the synagogue what everybody who's paying attention should expect to see next. He reached back to Isaiah and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." This was the way Jesus showed the love of God. This is why he has come in the first place, so that the Father's love can be visible. So we can touch the Father's love and be touched by the Father's love. He has come to preach good news and to do good things. Wouldn't you rather be known for that? Wouldn't you rather be known for glad tidings and good works rather than some of the other stuff people know you for? Are you on a mission in your life? What is your life really all about? If we followed you around after church, that is, if we eavesdropped on your conversations, if we check your Facebook page, if we observe your conduct once you go to work or to class or whatever consumes your regular routine, what would we be able to conclude from our observations and watching you up close and personal? Would we be impressed or inspired to believe that you are on some kind of mission? When Jesus left the synagogue where he announced what his life was going to be about, he went about living up to what he said. Sometimes I think we don't say much because we don't want to be held accountable for what we say. Jesus was about words and deeds that went together for effectual ministry. Jesus cast out some demons. He healed a woman of her fever, then went out and did some preaching. He helped Simon with his fishing. He cleansed a leper of his disease, and then went out and did some teaching. A band of brothers brought to him one of their homeboys, a paralytic on a stretcher, dropped him down in front of Jesus while he was conducting a Christian education conference at a Pharisee's house. Jesus stopped what he was doing to minister to a man with a real-life problem. He was a case study of what Jesus was talking about. Jesus was all the time being about his Father's business, trying to show love in ways that would really make a difference in people's lives. And don't miss, please don't miss, that he intends to make that difference in both the spiritual and physical welfare of the people to whom he ministers. He does so because he knows that without his example of ministry to both the spiritual and the physical, folk will come in his name and give you a praise the Lord and a hallelujah and a thank you, Jesus, and a God bless you, and never lift a hand to help you, even though they see you in dire need. If Jesus had focused only on the spiritual, only on the message, only on what he came to say, many would not have embraced him. Many would not have taken to heart what he was saying because there were too many people who were hurting too bad. We want to be good disciples, don't we? We want to be like Jesus. But some of us have decided in our hearts that we're not going to be bothered with the sorrows, the hurts, the problems, and the diseases of other people. It's not that we have no compassion, that we are unfeeling and insensitive. It's just that we have enough to do doing for ourselves. Unless, of course, it's for someone we know very well, or somebody we owe, or somebody we need to impress. Notice at the beginning of chapter 7 of Luke, the Jews who Jesus is teaching how to be more missionary in their ministry, they implore Jesus, "Please, Lord, go help the centurion's servant." The centurion was a non-Jew, which is surprising, because the Jews were very persnickety about who they wanted to share the word of God with. But this non-Jew was very influential and very resourceful. He had helped them build a synagogue. It just so happened that the centurion was also a man of great faith, who inspired the master to do what he could to help. But faith was not the issue for those insisting that Jesus go see him. To them, the man was a somebody that Jesus should get to know and make a priority because of who the man was and what the man had. But follow Jesus further. Follow him from Capernaum to Nain, and you will see that he had just as much compassion, just as much care and concern for a widow woman that those same people would have never given priority. Sorrow of living without her husband was compounded by the sorrow of losing her son. The day before, while this widow was in Capernaum, she may have held out some hope that some good could still be done. But now, when Jesus shows up, it's the day after. Her son is dead. The grave site has been chosen. But Jesus saw her and was moved with compassion, and he knew her situation was not beyond his reach. It was beyond her reach, but not beyond his reach. He had the capacity to make the ultimate difference between life and death itself. Yes, he consoled her with words. He did say, "Weep not." He did say, "Don't cry." Then he went beyond that to exercise his capacity to renew life itself. He said to her son, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the boy got up, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Now, I know your resurrection skills are a little rusty, but there is much more that you can do to make a difference in the lives of hurting people than to say, "Don't worry, don't cry, it will all get better." Haven't you figured it out yet? That is why you are as blessed as you are. It is so you can do something good for somebody. You've got money enough to share. You have more clothes than you can wear in a season. You've been around for a while. You have some contacts you can call when you have exhausted your own means and influence. Sometimes you look at the parking lot around the church and you think the building has to be full. But sometimes it's just that everybody drove their own car, one car for one body. We have been blessed. We have talent we haven't tapped yet. We have time I know we can make better use of. So when we see something good to do that would be a help to somebody, something in our hearts ought to say, "Do it for Jesus' sake." Do it so somebody we know, do it so somebody we don't know, can get to know Jesus through us. That's how Jesus went about doing good. He did it in a way that folk were convinced that God himself was at work in him. They didn't know so much about him, but what they knew about God, they could see at work in him. When he raised that widow's son from the death pallet, Jesus could have stuck his chest out and said, "Yo, that was pretty good, wasn't it? Want to see me do it again?" He could have drawn more attention to himself. But what he did was so divine, it was so much a sign of God's authority, that the people were awestruck and said, God must be in this man. He must be a prophet. And it satisfied Jesus that their reverence and thanksgiving went beyond him to the Father. He was just glad to be used to do something that would glorify God. Oh, if we had that kind of excitement just to be available for the Master's use. So excited we didn't care whether the pastor slapped us on the back to say thank you. Didn't care if our name wasn't on the program. Didn't care if we weren't honored at the banquet. Just didn't care, so long as God got the glory. That's the kind of greatness we need to be aspiring to. Not so much that our name is lifted up, but that the name of the Lord is magnified. And that someone who otherwise might not know the Master gets introduced to him by how we respond to the challenges of everyday life that makes some people wonder if God cares. You see, some people's hurts, some people's problems, some people's infirmities, some people's diseases are an offense to other people. Jesus ministered to and associated with those very kind of people. People other folks didn't want to be bothered with. Folk like lepers who sent other folk running to the opposite side of the street. Jesus rubbed some folk the wrong way. Even religious folk he rubbed the wrong way, because his approach to missions was to be up close and personal. He would get in your face to see if he could find a way to get into your heart. Some folk were bothered because he talked to women. Some folk were bothered because he ate with publicans and sinners. Some were bothered because he ministered to unclean folk like lepers and legion hanging out in the tombs. Some were bothered because he helped folk out and did it on the Sabbath. God forbid. He bothered people who were so busy trying to be good and look good that they had no notion of what it meant to actually do some good. There was one who knew the difference. There was one who knew what to look for. John the Baptist was not going to be fooled by some slick-talking wannabe guru. He wasn't going to be deceived by some new religious Pied Piper saying, come, follow me. You know some people will follow anybody. But John knew what the anointing would look like in everyday living. So when he sent his messengers to inquire of Jesus, are you the one, or shall we look for another? Are you the one who should come? Or do we look for another? John knew what kind of word should be coming back. When the messengers caught up to Jesus, he was busy. He was busy doing good things, but not too busy to give John the assurance he was looking for. He told John's messengers, you go on back where you came from. Go on back to that jail cell where they have my brother John awaiting his fate, and you tell him, so that his heart is comforted. Tell him what you heard me say, but make sure you do not close the report before you tell him what you've seen me do. Tell John, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And my brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. Has he done anything for you lately? Did he heal your body? Did he save your soul? Did he turn you around when you were going in the wrong direction? Did he raise up friends for you when you thought nobody wanted to have anything to do with you? Did he rescue you from danger? I think I may have a witness listening to me right now that he's been good all the time. And all the time, he's been good. Jesus is looking for some people who want to be like him, who want to make it their mission in life to be a help to somebody. But good help, it seems, is hard to find. If you're going to fully embrace a missionary spirit, you need a love in your heart that's willing to get up close and personal. More often than not, we rather minister from a distance. We rather just write the check and be done with it. drop the stuff off and let people come as they may and go as they please. We don't mind doing it, but we want to do it in a group. But you ought not need a committee or an auxiliary meeting to do something good for somebody. You have within your own capacity a bank of blessings, the resources you need to be a blessing to somebody. I tell you, the Lord is signing folk up for missionary service. And contrary to popular belief, there is no dress code. Looks nice, but you don't have to have on no white uniform. There's no gender stipulation. Doing good works is not women's work. No age limit either. It's not just for senior citizens. All you need to get started in the work of doing something good is a God-touched heart that makes you want to be more like Jesus. It's all right to be like Mike, but I really want to be like Jesus. In my heart, Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. I want to show the kind of love that makes a difference. I want to have a word to say, yes, but I also want to do something good for somebody. More than offer a Band-Aid, I want to make a lasting difference. I wonder today, are we getting ready for our final exam? You do know there will be a final exam. None of us are going into the kingdom without an interview. When the book is open and the record is read, when evaluation day comes, I want the record to say, I visited the sick, I fed the hungry, I clothed the naked, I showed hospitality to the stranger, I visited the prisoner. Jesus said, if you do it to the least of these, you have done it to me. I want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Come on up now, and I'll make you ruler over many. I pray today that that is your soul's ambition, to hear the well-done affirmation from Jesus that you are welcome to be with him, to be with him in his presence, to be with him in his kingdom. If that is your conviction today, the faith to believe the report concerning Jesus, I invite you to become a child of God. I invite you into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I invite you into the kingdom of God as his adopted family, because through Christ Jesus, we have eternal life, we have eternal joy, we have eternal presence with the one who came to save our souls. We also welcome you to find out more about the Lord, to be a part of the ministry of the kingdom of God by being a part of the New Hope Missionary Baptist Church family, where we're just studying, praying, worshiping, trying to be better at life, trying to be better at the Christian life. So if that is your heart's desire, you can call us at 909-887-2526. That's 909-887-2526. Or come on by 1575 West 17th Street in San Bernardino, California. We pray this word has found a place in your heart and is giving birth right now to true conviction. And by the conviction that Jesus is Lord, your Lord and Savior, sent by God to be the Savior of the world, but included you as well, with that faith, you can indeed be saved. Let it be so today, according to his word, according to his will. In Jesus' name, amen.
worst enemies. When I couldn't shake them, you said you'd break them. My faith is much stronger, so now I can take them. I know life is an uphill battle. You said sometimes I might struggle. Doesn't mean that I have to give up, though. That's how I know he's turning my life around. He's turning my life around. Turning my life around. The old me is gone. New middle space. Can't judge my past. It's already been erased. Now I know I will never let you go. Pay the price for me so you're the one.
I want to thank the audience for listening to Hope is Alive right here on this network, Studio W The Buzz. Hey, if you want to hear this program again, you want to share with a friend, in 24 hours you can go right to the website, okay? Go to archive shows, type in or look for Hope is Alive, and you can hear this broadcast again. Now, how do you do that? Just go to Studio W That Buzz, Studio W That Buzz. I also want to invite you to download one of our free apps, Android, that's simply from your Play Store, Studio W. Apple is Studio Dot W. We're available on Google Play, Apple CarPlay, and therefore you can share it with someone else. Thank you so much for listening to Hope is Alive each and every Sunday noon on the West Coast, 3 p.m. right here on the East. And now, I'm going to have a brief conversation with Dr. Orange, have some questions to ask. And I was, Dr. Orange, I was glad that you taught on what you did this morning, the sermon that you preached, do something good for somebody. I want to talk about that a little bit. And let's talk about good energy versus bad energy. I remember growing up in school when we took our physics class, they said, well, for every action, there's an equal but opposite reaction. And the older I get, I don't agree with that. I think if you put out good energy, in most cases, you're going to get good energy back. What would you have to say about that, sir? Dr. Orange? Okay, did I lose Dr. Orange? Okay, tell you what. We're going to go to another song, and let's see if we can locate the good doctor here. Be right back here in a minute. I think I'll go to, oh boy.
Can you hear me?
Oh yes, now I can. Okay, did you?
All right.
Okay, now did you?
Well, there's always a button to press, a right button and a wrong button.
That's exactly right. Oh boy, that's too funny. Oh, that's too funny.
Yeah, I pressed one button, it turned red. I pressed another button, it turned green. So that was the right one.
That was the right one. That's right.
That was the right one.
Oh my God. Did you hear my question?
I did hear your question. Yeah, that's a very interesting question because, I think whenever we do good, we expect good to come back. But the problem is we only in charge of our own good spirit. And we're not in charge of the kind of spirit we get when we when we minister or when we encourage or when we give gifts.
Uh-huh.
And we know from Christmas after Christmas just because somebody's on your list don't mean you on theirs.
That is too funny.
But, I think if you hang out with people who are who have shown that they're trying to reflect the spirit of Christ, then more often than not, you are going to get a good response to good things. But our mission is to be about spreading the gospel to people who have yet to really receive that message of grace and glory from Jesus Christ, and they may be still growing in their good spirit and maturing in what it means to be a blessing to others. So when he sent his disciples out, he prepared them for the best and the worst, and we have to be prepared for the same, because everybody's not going to welcome us with a parade and pat us on the back and say thank you and be grateful that we sacrifice to be a blessing to them. But so the blessing really comes from the Lord, and that's where we have to get our reward.
Which leads to my next question. When we are doing something good for somebody, in essence, aren't we really doing something good for ourselves?
No, you're really doing something good for the Lord.
Uh-oh.
If you do something good for other people, for yourself, then you're diluting your reward.
Right.
And you're basing your reward on something you can't control and you have no promise for. But when you do it for the Lord, you got a promise and you got a reward.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Now, let me rephrase that. Because, let me rephrase that. Because now, if we go out doing something and we brag and putting it all on billboards, telling, oh, look, I did this for this person doing that, right? And I have to go along with that 100% that we're really doing it for ourselves instead of the Lord. But what I noticed that if I'm doing something, let's say for instance, it doesn't necessarily have to be monetary. Because, you know, let's say you walk into somebody, you say, good morning, and you have a smile on your face. And in turn, you find that a lot of times people will smile back. You know, and sometimes, or you do something for someone. Let's say you gave somebody some food or whatever it is. Now, you aren't going around bragging about it. But to me, what I'm saying is it makes you feel better when you have put a smile on someone's face. And that's what I mean by doing something good for yourself.
Yeah, well, but your smile better not come after you see what their response is. You better not be waiting for their response. No, I tell you what. If you come bearing gifts with your smile.
Mm. Okay.
With your smile already on your face.
Uh-huh.
Because if you wait till after you give the gift to see if you have something to smile about. You putting your reward in jeopardy.
Oh boy!
Yes,
okay. Yeah, you know. Now I find that some people are they let the good come out, or the so-called good come out, just during this time of the year, during Christmas. A lot of people they get real jealous around Christmas, and then that day after Christmas, they shut down until December the 25th of the following year. So
yeah.
Let's talk about that, doing that good thing for somebody, not only for Christmas time, but throughout the year.
Yeah, your giving ought not be seasonal.
Ah.
It's okay for there to be seasonal reminders that you should be a giver, but it ought not be limited to the season where you wait until the season comes to show forth the fact that you're a friend or that you have the compassion that God has given you. That ought to show itself with any opportunity that you have to give. I remember distinctly during one Christmas season, I was in a store, and I had just been really blessed. I had one of those ship-come-in kind of blessings happen to me, you know.
Right.
So I went to a store to buy just a few things for myself, and I saw a young husband and wife with three kids in tow.
Ooh.
And their shopping cart was knew that they were there because they thought they could get a lot for a little, because it was a discount kind of store.
Right.
And for me, it was just a few things I like to get there. When it comes to other essentials, I go to other stores. But they were there for every kind of thing they could get, because they needed not to have to spend a lot of money
right.
for all those children.
Right.
And so I just walked over there from my cash register to their cash register and told the cashier, you know, their money's no good here. Here,
uh-huh.
take my card.
Amen.
And put everything that they were buying on my card.
Can you do something?
And do you know that neither one of them said thank you?
What?
One guy, the husband was on his phone and never looked up his head. And the wife was just watching the cashier ring the stuff up and didn't say a word. It took the cashier to say to them, do you know that this man was just a blessing to you?
Wow.
Don't you have anything to say to him?
Wow.
You know, and so, you know, if I had been sitting around waiting for them to say something to me to put a smile on my face, I'd still be waiting. I'd still be waiting today.
Yes, yes.
I'd be waiting today, you hear me?
That's, you know, that's remarkable.
Yeah. So, you know, you got to do what you got to do, because you see an opportunity to bless the Lord by being a reflection of him.
Amen.
And let that reward come from the Lord himself.
Hey, man, what a wonderful story. What a wonderful story. That's pretty remarkable. And the lesson that I'm getting from that is that we need to humble ourselves sometime, especially if you are on the receiving end, and, you know, say thank you. I don't know whether it was, you know, I'm listening to your story, and would you say it was pride or just a, what would you say it was? I mean, without trying to judge these people, I guess in a sense we are, but what would you say that was the reason why they couldn't even say thank you? What kind of spirit is
that?
Well,
you know, I think it comes clearer what Jesus said on the mountain when he was uttering the Beatitudes, that some people are poor in spirit.
Mm.
These people were obviously poor in their pocket. They didn't have a lot of money,
right?
Which is why they were trying to buy everything they needed in that store.
Right.
But they had to be poor in spirit as well,
right?
Not to have a spiritual reflex of gratitude. You see
right.
what I'm saying?
Right.
They didn't even have a reflex of gratitude because maybe they weren't used to anything good coming their way in life.
Wow.
Maybe they thought it was a scam. Maybe they thought that what was happening wasn't real, or that was strange, that it was so strange that it was happening to them that maybe it wasn't even true.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
That's
so
amazing.
All I could do is give them the opportunity to drink from the spirit that I brought to them.
Right.
But it was probably because they were also poor in spirit and as well as poor in their pocket that
wow.
they didn't have a thank you or anything else to return to me.
That's pretty remarkable.
That was my blessing was the opportunity. Their blessing was the fruit of my doings.
Wow.
So, you know, their thankfulness had nothing to do with my reward or my feeling of satisfaction that I took an opportunity to glorify God.
That's amazing. That is a remarkable story. Remarkable story, sir. Anyway, I enjoyed your sermon. I enjoyed the conversations that we have after your sermon. One last thing before I ask that you lead us in prayer or close us out in prayer, rather. What would you like to share with the audience during this wonderful season? What would you like to say to them in closing?
Instead of getting ready for Christmas, let Christmas be right now and every day that comes hereafter, because you're already favored by God to still be alive. You're already blessed with more than you could think or imagine, more than you thought would come your way, even at this point. And so don't get ready for Christmas. Live each day like Christmas has already come.
Amen. Amen. And, sir, if you'd be so kind, would you please close us out in prayer?
Mm-hmm. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the gift that you are, the blessing that you are in our lives, Lord God. We thank you for the report that has been given to the world over the centuries that has not yet died out. And we have received it by faith, believing that you included us in every blessing that you mean for the children of God. And so let us live to the fullest. Let us live by grace and by faith and by the light that shines on our pathway from heaven. And we let us be more like you in all of our relationships and interactions with others. We pray, Lord God, for Jesus' joy. We pray for peace complete. And we pray for amazing grace, Lord God, whereby our souls are saved through faith and believing in you. Bless every ear that is under the sound of my voice and every heart that receives your good news message to the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Dr. Owens, thank you so much, my friend. And we will speak next week. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been
God Bless.
Is Alive right here on The Buzz.
Trust in the Lord. I'm gonna trust in the Lord.